Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. All of our energy around here, our solar energy, all of the roof above us that's melting all of the ice and the icicles that are flying off my building, brought to you by our friends at Cole Roofing, and of course, Gordian Energy. Billy, I have more energy than you today, man. I started green rooming you about the New York Times election stuff and green rooming you about, I don't know, man, roofs and solar and impeachments and football and all that stuff. But I'm going to bring the whole thing back to center in the middle of our relationship today. Football and the Ravens. It's Super Bowl week, man. We got like a great game this week. Are you in a block pool? I mean, tell me something.
Oh, there's a Super Bowl this week?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even aware of that.
In Tampa.
My team ended, football ended 2-3 weeks ago or whatever.
Just remind you of anything, anybody you know,
yeah,
or
yeah, yeah, any, sure.
Yeah.
See, that's, yeah. If it's not going to be like that, I'm not that interested. So,
well, here's what I'm going to ask you today. And how many children do you have?
Three.
Which one's your favorite?
Depends which day of the week.
So, you know, we've had a lot of fun around here this week, and this can be a fun segment. And then we can get heavier talk, you know, politics or whatever you want to talk about. But today is a special day, and you know, people that can listen to this and say, you know, whatever, today is February 3rd, right? And all last week I had members of Super Bowl 35 on. So Coach came on behalf of Living Classrooms, of course. Marvin Lewis, Jack Del Rio pushed me to this week. I had Brandon Stokely and Chris Redman sort of intersect without realizing, and I sort of surprised them on a Zoom and put them together. Stokely showed me the football that he caught, you know, and I found the picture last week. Somebody gave me a picture, Billy. Like, you talk about a gift that people can give you all these years later that would mean something to you. Somebody gifted me this picture, and I found it, and it's a picture of me in the section in front of the boat, the pirate boat in Tampa, and it's during the Ray Charles kickoff. You know, so Ray Charles is out there. I have Nasty across the back of my jersey. It's not my picture. I don't even know who gave it to me,
right.
But it was like one of those pictures. Like, you were sharing all the pictures the other day of like your fun memory. Here it is. I'm going to share it with you because it's so cool. And it's such a moment in time, and it's not my picture. It's someone taking a picture of me. And I'm like,
yeah, sure.
And it's just Kodachrome-y enough and dreamy enough to put me there for a minute. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So I shared the Mike Flynn video. Did you get a chance to see the video, the parade and all that? Or did I show
it
last week to you?
No, I haven't seen it.
You have not? Did you attend the parade?
I don't think I did that one. I think because we may have struggled to get out of town. I don't think I went to that one.
You were in Tampa. Like,
yeah.
You had the pictures. You sent me pictures of your brother.
We definitely went to the next parade because we went down to M&T and I took my kids. My kids were really little back then.
All right. So for anybody, you know, who is listening on the radio, you won't mean anything, but I'm showing Billy, if you're watching on video ad on WNS TV, I'm literally showing the video that Mike Flynn and I shot. You can tell when I'm shooting it, it's more professional. It's more like slow. And when Flynn's shooting it, it's just, it's a mess. And Flynn just keeps yelling, "Who let the dogs out?" The funniest part of this is that when I put the video up on YouTube on the 27th, of January, because January 28th it's like a birthday in my family, right? Like January 28th is when we won, right? And so I put this up, and the next day YouTube copyrighted it. And I'm like, hold on, it's an hour long video of me on a float carrying, there's Trent Dilfer waving to us, you know, on Gay Street. And I wonder why. And you know why? It's got like 10 minutes of the Baja Men doing Who Let the Dogs Out on the stage at City Hall. So it got flicked as a copyright thing, right? So last week I do this and I have this amazing journey. I didn't even have Flynn on. Kyle Richardson was supposed to come on. He didn't. I didn't even bother like Kim Herring, who's one of my best pals on the team. But it gave me a chance to catch up with Jack Del Rio and Mike Smith, and Goose came on. So you can find all that. I mean, I didn't even bother Peter Boulware. I got to catch up with James Trapp. So I know all these guys. And I started to think about which championship meant more. right? Like, because my wife wasn't in my life when this happened, right? Like, none of these pictures. I was dating a gal named Elise. She was with me at the game. I have pictures with her. I sent them to her. She's been married 20 years, you know, like all of that, right? So Bobby Nick's gone. Hitman is gone. You know, all these pictures of Piscunny was at our party. I mean, all these friends that have departed over 20 years. And I start to think which championship means more. And last night, Matt Burke came on. Okay. So Matt comes on and Luke and I are doing our Matt thing. And you can go check that out at Baltimore Positive. I mean, Matt was great talking about Marshall Yanda, all this stuff. And I started to think which one means more. And I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and on my Facebook timeline today, which is February 3rd for those recording, February 3rd is the anniversary. So it was 8 years ago today, Bill Cole, that the Ravens won the second one. And I would not have this morning been able to tell you it was February 3rd was the day. You know, I don't know why. So I guess, and Joe Flacco will never speak to me again if I say this, and neither will Harbaugh. I guess the first one as a 52-year-old means more. That's my favorite child. I'm going to put that to you today. Did you know it was the anniversary today?
No. I mean, you know, right around Super Bowl time, it's the anniversary of all of them. So, you know, I could have got within a week or two. But I mean, I think that first one, you know, the second one was different. But the first one was so
surreal.
Yeah, just crazy. I mean, they were kind of bad, right? Like, we didn't score a touchdown for 3, 4, 5 weeks, something like that. I mean, excuse me. Like, there, it should not have went down that way. So,
but it did.
Yeah. So it has a magical meaning. It doesn't have like 30 years of being a, you know, loyal fan and taking it on the chin, and then finally we win. You know, it didn't have any of that. I mean, Chris, we didn't even know what suffering really was at that point. We'd only had a team a couple of years.
No, but that was the suffering. The suffering was not having a team, dude. Like, you're younger than me. So this is where we really get off. The suffering for me was going with my father, and I found all my ticket stubs, man. I could pull up all my cold ticket stubs and my Miami Dolphins and Cleveland Browns stubs from 1975, 76. I found my program the other day from Ghost to the Post, and I found my program from the and the insert from the Donald Kroner game. My dad took me to that game. I found my ticket stub. So, you know, football was taken away. So for me to have it back and to be such a part of it, I mean, that first Super Bowl team, you know, I and I'm not to measure, you know, like the second when my wife, my son was, a, you know, a, in it and a part of it, and my family and my business and like people, you were in New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
You did them both. I mean, how would you compare and contrast them, you know?
Well, even though my father probably shares all those same Colts sentiments that you do, for me, my childhood was the 49ers, the Browns,
the Bills,
right. I mean, I can go through, like, always take the Niners over the Cowboys, always take the Bills over the Giants. Like, you know, like,
always bet on Bill Parcells.
Yeah. So I don't have a lot of that. It was all I knew. So I don't have that loss.
Were you bred to hate the Redskins? I was. Everybody I knew was.
Yeah, I don't. Bred is probably too strong of a word, but yeah, no. I mean, there was no.
Well, not bred, because like they, dude, I went from going to Colts games with my dad and packing hot chocolate to not having a team. Right. You know what I mean? Like, to having Redskins games pumped in and being sold a load of bull from her Belgrad that we're going to get back in the league, and Vito's running around and Stedman's running around. But worse than that, Billy, I got a different association to that, right? Like, I began working at the newspaper in January of 84. I worked at the paper when the Mayflower pictures were taken, and then it became my life working in the sports department every day and chronicling every Rankin Smith, every Leonard Tose, every, you know, whatever, name any of the owners in the league that would ever say anything nice about Baltimore to ever let us back in the league. Like, there was never a thought we were getting a team. So as we sit here and celebrate the eighth anniversary of the second championship, there's a pinch me part of all of this for what my life's been. And, you know, this hat and the fact that Art Modell ever came here, that's still for a guy my age who had it and had it taken away, that there's a different thing going on than some 30-year-old. And no offense to any of you 30-year-olds, but you ain't ever going to get it if all you know is the Ravens were here and it's willed to you, because like a lot of people left a lot of blood on the bricks and a lot of people left a lot of tax dollars. And we're going to get into that with the baseball team and whatever's going to happen with them, because you're old enough to remember Memorial Stadium before Camden Yards. Did you?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, at 96, I was a high school senior,
okay,
right? I graduated high school. So my childhood, I was 5 when the Colts left. You know, I'm 18 when the Ravens come back.
You were 5 when the Orioles won. So the Orioles mainly stunk. They were good 1 year when you were 11.
Yeah. No, okay. My heyday was like, for the Orioles, Mickey Tettleton, Joe Orsolak.
89.
Like those guys. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Greg Olson, sure, 89.
They were good for a year by accident, almost, sort of.
Yeah. I think what is different between the two Super Bowls for me is the first one, we were like in that 22, 23-year-old range. So we used to see them, you know, out downtown. And, you know, they were like same age peers, which made for some interesting situations that went on with football players.
And I had a few of those with Mike Flynn and McCrary, like all those guys. They're my age, right?
Yeah. And then by the time we got to the second one, you know, yeah, there was still probably some like Ray, he's still around. He's an old guy. He's like us, but it was different phase in my life, you know, like there were kids and maybe marriages and I don't know.
Yeah. I wonder why people stopped coming to the barn shows. Then I realized all you guys had kids and my kid was like going out of high school. So like, it was like ships passing. Bill Cole was here from Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. We're talking Super Bowls. And you know, I thought it would be an interesting topic of conversation that like when I wake up and I didn't even realize it was the eighth anniversary of the second championship, I had to really start to think, does the first one mean more or the second one mean more and why? And, you know, and I had Matt Burke on and I'm going to wind up having all of the Torrey Smiths and, you know, Haloti Ngata's and all of that for the rest of eternity. But there's something about that first one, I think, for any of us that were around, that when you look back at those snapshots and where you were, the second one doesn't feel that far off, right? I mean, some of these, Justin Tucker's still on the team, yeah, right?
Right. I mean, I would have to sit down and do it. It might take me a while, but I'm guessing I can name more of the roster from the first one than of the second one. That's my guess.
Go. And I ask you which one of your kids was your favorite. You know, I mean, we're all going to have to ask these questions in regard to football because we're probably going to win a few more championships if we live long enough, I guess, right? Maybe. Yeah. I hope.
I mean, it depends. If you get the farther you get away from, like, I think we got really, really, really lucky with Bisciotti because, like, that move, getting a new owner, there's so many ways it can just fall off the rails, you know, like,
do you want me to give you the whole list of, you know, C Orioles, C Red, whatever they're called, C, you know, we go down the list, right?
I mean, there's just not that many humble rich guys who are going to step in and like hold everyone accountable, but also allow them to do their jobs. Like that's somewhat of a, I think, rare trait. And I obviously don't get to attend, you know, Steve's quarterly strategy sessions with the team and all their meetings. But from afar, he seems to let the football people do their thing, but while holding them accountable to the standard that the Ravens have been able to set over the years, you know? And
well, there's also a loyalty. And I'll say this, for every player, and like Jack Del Rio came on yesterday, who was a player, right? Then became a coach, and he was sort of a lowly coach. You know, he was first guy in. He was strength and conditioning coach for Dick in New Orleans in 1997. You know, like he was just trying to become a coach. And now he's a two-time decorated head coach. He's been a head coach for more than a decade in the league. He helped run the Redskins. He's on his 11th organization, I think, Jack, that he's played in and coached in. Right. And he says, like, the Ravens, first-class organization. Like, Brandon Stokely played in five different places, right? They all say first-class organization. The Ravens sent all the 35 guys, like, a bottle of wine and a cutter, and they had a big Zoomy Zoom on the 28th and did a big night. But the people who worked in the organization, and all these people got fired, right? Literally, right? In the real world. We call it released or traded, right, or, right, you know, contract expired, but they got fired. I mean, that's what happens to football players. Every one of them gets fired in the end, right? Right. You know, this guy, he got fired, you know, literally they all get fired. And to want to come back and feel the specialness of it and be a part of it and tip your cap. Not every player feels that way about every organization. You know, the Chargers can't get anybody to come back as an example, right?
Right. Right. No, I think that's a good testament. I mean, and brand loyalty in the city is, you know, another sort of testament to who they are. And I mean, look, there are rare occasions where that organization has misstepped. And when they have, they've been pretty quick to like deal with it and get on. They always seem to be doing the right stuff. I don't think the purple is as strong as it was 2-3 years ago. Maybe coming out of the Super Bowl might have been the high point, you know.
Well, Harbaugh has now survived not winning a Super Bowl longer than Billick did.
Yeah.
Like Billick won in 01 and was gone in 08. Harbaugh won in 13, it's 21 and he hadn't won. But Harbaugh's got a quarterback he can win with. The aftermath of Flacco, man, there were a lot of directions this team could have gone in with a quarterback. And I think we do remember Scott Mitchell and all the Kyle Bowler and Steve McNair and all of that, that the fact that they have a quarterback they believe they can win with. Now, whether they can or not, I mean, jury's out, right? I mean, kid's going to win a lot of football games here as long as he stays healthy, and they're going to build around him. Now, how they climb that mountain and beat what we're going to see this weekend, the Mahomes, the Bradys, the Aaron Rodgers, whatever that's going to be. But they feel like they can win with him, and they have stability unlike any other organization in the sport. In the same way your company's been doing this 100 years, right? Like, there's a stability built in and a book of business, so to speak.
They will never be able to associate this properly, but, like, Ray Lewis is still making players play better than they would otherwise, right? Like Ray and in combination with all those other guys, so Rod Woodson or Boulware and Sharper and McCrary and all those guys, right? You not only like said, yeah, we're a defensive team, because think about it, the very beginning of 96, we were losing 36-38. Like
every
Vinny
week.
Vinny was chucking it all over the field.
So you know what's funny you would say that? Because that was the year Marvin took me under his wing, right? So Marvin, every Friday, we would pack sandwiches because there was no food. Or I'd have to bring pizza in, usually from Bertucci's, quite frankly, because it was at the mall. Yeah. And literally, I would sit with Schwartz and Marvin in this little office in Owings Mills, and we would watch film on Friday afternoons. And I would always say, was that Donnie Brady or Ike Booth? Like, who broke down? And he's like, look, there's no breakdown. They know where they're supposed to be. They're playing to their knees. They just can't get there. They just can't get there. It's nothing mental. It's nothing. It's just, we're not good enough. We're not getting to the quarterback, and we're not, you know, like, and every week it's 45 to, yeah, right.
Right. So you didn't build a brand there. They start building the defense, right? And then you come out of that Super Bowl as this defensive juggernaut. And that's the brand that continues to exist today. And I believe that makes everyone think our defense is better than it is. And I think it makes those players demand out of themselves to play at a higher level, because
the Baltimore Pittsburgh thing feeds into that around the country, that like and maybe even our wire reputation, which I'm trying to, you know, put an end to. But it does lend to an edge when we come out in black jerseys on a Monday night, you know, over the course of 20 years with Ray Lewis and Terrell Suggs and Haloti Ngata. And, you know, and yeah, there's a little intimidation factor that once this thing ramps up, we have something that Cleveland just doesn't have. That's Cincinnati. Right.
And the fact that someone, the light bulb finally, I shouldn't say this because they probably knew it. Finding the right players is an entirely different, you know, challenge. Like, if you're going to always be a defensive team, you've got to run the ball. Like, that makes it that much easier to be a great defensive team. So the fact that they've been able to match those two up, it is, you know, as intimidating as you can find when the guys across from you are also, you know, five-star recruits and the great, you know, they're also professionals. So they're not that intimidated, but I don't ever believe playing the Ravens is just playing another game. Like, it's not like just playing the Dolphins or playing the Browns or playing the Bengals or, you know, it's just,
well, we've always brought a superstar and we've always brought champions and Hall of Famers into your building. When we're coming, the team football is either going to have Ray Lewis's autograph on it or Suggs or Flacco or Matt Burke or Shannon Sharp or Rod. Like, we're now it's Lamar Jackson and it's, you know, I guess it's Marlon Humphrey at this point, that these are going to be Pro Bowl caliber players every year. So, yeah, in the end,
Mike Vrabel, you know, you want to come into our stadium and you want to behave that way. Well, all I can say is, as a Baltimorean, I am damn glad that we set that record straight and we put him back in his place, because otherwise it starts to chip away at your brand. It starts to chip away.
They don't win championships in Nashville, right? Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. We take the ball from them.
Bill Cole is here. He is Gordian Energy and our friends, of course, at Cole Roofing. You can find them at coleroofing.com, doing commercial roof spaces and doing cool stuff. And even if you're watching on video, the school that Bill has over his shoulder. You want to plug your business, or you just want to move on to like how we're dealing with vaccines and is the world getting any better or not?
Yeah, we can go into that. I mean, my business is covered in snow right now, and based on the forecast, I'm not sure we'll do much of anything for the next.
Hey, what happens to solar panels when snow lands on top of it? Does it melt?
Yeah, usually it melts, drifts, and goes away. And once we get a little opening because of the dark blue, you know, it starts to melt quickly, and then they start producing power, and then they heat up, and it goes away quick.
Fair enough. That's a good question, right? They're asking that out at WISP this weekend, right?
Well, we're doing a lot of work in Minnesota. So if snow was a legitimate issue, I'm not sure we'd be doing all the solar farms.
Let Matt Burke know, man. He called it for St. Paul yesterday. The world and the government and vaccines, you know, Don Mueller got his shot last week. People over, you know, 65 lining up, you know, Pete's mom, you know, is over 65. My mom's gone, you know, but I'm wondering in my own world, because I care about everyone and I'm 52. So a lot of my friends are going to be a little north, you know, getting to be eligible, as they would say, you know, tier one or whatever it is, 1A, 1B, 1C. You know, this is an interesting social experiment. And based on everything else, given the last leadership we had, that's going to have a trial next week that he's richly earned and a conviction that he richly has earned as well. I look at it and say, you know, is the new administration, who's committed to this and who was committed to this? Because it's pretty obvious there wasn't a plan that got laid on Biden's desk. Now there's kind of a plan. And how quickly can we get your dad a shot and everybody's mom and dad a shot? And let's start with that. And you knew there was going to be chicanery, right? You know, you knew there was going to be a black market and my mama's mama knows somebody's pharmacist, doctor's friend that can get me a shot. That there's a run on this, right? It's a weird time, but I think we're going to be okay. I mean, I'm starting to develop some level of confidence that there is going to be an end to this.
I guess I would support that position, because my biggest concern, pandemic related right now, is there's always a concern around just general fatigue, you know, like everyone's kind of tired of this and they just, you know, at some point they throw in the towel and you know, start doing things that they probably wouldn't have done a month ago. And, you know, we're really not maybe to that point yet. So we have to be, we have to continue to be vigilant. But my biggest concern is we all were, you know, the story was out last summer, right? That, oh, the summer, you know, it's going to kill the virus and things are going to be okay. And I think from my unscientific layman's perspective, like, it does transmit less in the summer than it does in the winter, either because we're all outside or because the sun kills it. What, I don't know what it is, but our summertime activities did not produce the, you know, numbers of in positive cases as it is in the winter. Now, you got to understand that the whole thing is sort of like a multiplier, right? So if there's only 10 people that have it in the summer, they can only infect so many other people. So it's always going to be more as time goes on. But my concern is May into June, things are relatively steady and everybody just goes crazy. Right, like, pandemic's over, let's get
out. I got a shot, I'm safe.
Woo, let's get out of here. And everyone goes wild, tourism is back, you can't rent a hotel room, like, it's, the cruise ships are, you know, not stopping, and people stop worrying about getting the vaccine, right? And our ability to deploy it slows down. Because by then, it, you know, I think it'll be the you and me's of
this. Well, we have no problem creating mania in this country about anything, right? Like, we can, I mean, these QAnon freaks, I mean, you know, you could create a mania around anything, but the fatigue part of this, for a year now, we've been hearing, we need the shot, we need the shot, we need the shot. Those of us that take science seriously, and I'm not convinced we're ever going to get, you know, the low information people to become high information people, that somebody that says, you're not giving me that shot, I guess they're not getting that shot. That, you know, that's the way this is going to go down. But for those of us who do want it, I have a feeling Uncle Joe and, you know, Aunt Kamala are going to, you know, figure out a way that sometime between now and, yeah, I don't know, 4th of July, I'm going to have access to get a shot. I feel like that's going to be the case. And I feel like the shot's real and it's scientific and it'll probably work for the most part. But I am with you that I don't expect to be doing normal things, because I don't expect normal things to be all that available, quite frankly. I don't expect Pearl Jam to be coming to Merriweather.
No, I think you'll, I don't think we'll get to the large gathering stuff, but I think you're going to see a lot of the, I mean, they have already started to pull back the restrictions. You know, look at what they're doing with, like, youth sports and some of the other stuff. I mean, they are loosening the restrictions. So my concern is June, July, August, everybody goes wild. Our deployment of the vaccine slows down. We get to October, you know, and then we're forced to put more restrictions back in because we all kind of didn't do what we were supposed to be doing over the summer.
Well, look, man, we're, what, 6 weeks out, 5 weeks out on when this started last year? And we looked at it and said, man, I hope I can go to football games, right? So we're almost right back to where we were, where it's, well, I mean, if I could go sit in the front row of the Ravens game, we could all do that. If we could all do that for kickoff against, pick your team, the Steelers. If you, I know you and I were, hell, it was probably like 5 months ago that you were lamenting like how much you hated Vegas, and I was too, but how much we wanted to go. And that was like 5 months ago. That's when it was warm out, right?
I know.
So we play in Vegas this year. So
I know. We really want to go.
Dude, if you want to go Dr. Melfi on me like you usually do, and I'm going to get on your couch, if I'm going to get on your couch right now, here's what I want out of 2021, okay? Obviously, I want to eat, have my business, have my, you know, health, all that, right? But I want to spend a week at a beach somewhere I can drive to, a weekend at a beach somewhere I could fly to. I want to be able to go to Las Vegas for the Ravens game, whether that's in September or in December. I want to go on that trip specifically. And I don't, you know, I'm not expecting the Stones to come back. I'm not, by the way, you want to know how quickly a plague works, okay? Stadium in San Diego. Did you ever make that trip, Billy? Jack Murphy?
No, I've never watched a game at San Diego.
Okay, so I watched a few, and I love San Diego, family out there, all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, been to San Diego, enjoyed that, but didn't
so I had tickets when the plague began. The Stones were kicking off like a 12-show tour, and I had tickets for four of the shows, and they were the really cheap, you know, backdoor tickets where you could wind up with a pit ticket. It's like a lucky dip ticket. So they were on my Ticketmaster app. I have not looked at my Ticketmaster app. I don't even know whether they refunded the money or not. Pete told me, like, well, the Stones canceled the San Diego show, but the Louisville and the Pittsburgh shows are still, like, there. Like, Pearl Jam hasn't canceled any of their shows. I'm still sitting on my Baltimore tickets, the whole deal, right? None of my money back. All the Ticketmaster's on a boat somewhere with my money, right? So the other day I woke up and somebody on my my Twitter, dude, they've torn apart the stadium in San Diego. It's gone. Like, they've started to implode it. So, like, not only am I not seeing the Stones there, I'm never going back to that stadium. And I didn't even realize they were ripping the stadium down because they were playing, like, some holiday bowl there, like, 8 weeks ago. I mean, I saw them playing football there a month or two ago on ESPN, and I'm like, now they're ripping it down. So that's how things are going to change during the plague. You're going to come out of the plague, and, like, buildings are going to be gone, man.
Yeah, I am, maybe it's just my nature to want things to end up better than I anticipate them to be. I don't think I'll, maybe by December, if that trip to Vegas is in December.
But you'll hold the flight.
Yeah. That's pretty hard, man.
Well, I'm trying to figure out what's our level of expectation, right?
Yeah,
like, that's where the vaccine comes in. Like, I don't like shots. I watch my wife give herself needles three times a day, so I sort of suck it up, but I hate it. And it's going to sting, it's going to hurt, and I'm going to ache for a day, and I'm going to move on. And then I'm going to say, hey, I got the shot. And then I'm going to get another one or whatever, whether I get the one or the two, the Moderna, the five. I mean, I'm reading up on all this, right? And then I'm going to
rumor has it that if you never had the COVID, I might have it backwards, but like if you had the COVID after you get your first shot, you'll have a fever for like 2 days. If you've never had the COVID, when you get your second shot, you get the fever for 2 days.
I'll read up on it when I get it. I'm months away from that misery. I just don't want it to be the weekend that I'm planning amazing. This mythical thought that I'm going to go to Nag's Head and like be left alone. You know, like I'm really trying to figure out what my wife and I are going to do like take walks in Oregon Ridge or around the harbor, like, you know, sitting in restaurants or not. I sort of miss that, but like, that's not important. That's not what I'm looking forward to. I'm not looking forward to sitting at the bar or to Michi's. I've been carrying out food. I'm okay. You know, I mean, I'm good. I get my sloppy nesses and I'm set up, but I'm really trying to figure out like what's over the hill. What's going to make us happy again once things get back to normal? And I'm trying to make the list of what my very, very low bar of expectations are for this calendar year at this point.
So I became very aware of something that I miss dearly. And I wouldn't have really thought about it because work travel for me is I'm not a big fan. I don't really like it. It's kind of a necessity at times. So you just kind of suck it up.
See, I love traveling. You hate traveling. I don't ever get up and go to the airport and think I don't want to do this.
I like travel. I need to stay busy because, you know, I miss my kids. I miss my wife. I miss my routine. So when I'm away, I just need, you know, boom, 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 boom. And then I get on the plane and come home. I don't know, even know when at this point. I can't remember how long ago things were. This time last year, we were headed to Dallas for the roofing convention, which was like the last airplane trip I took. But prior to that, this September of 19, the solar conference was in Utah. And I'd never been to Salt Lake, so that was pretty cool, right?
You went, what time of year did you go?
It was September. It was
beautiful. I mean, it's an unbelievably beautiful place to land in the winter.
Yeah, it's crazy. So one of the nights we were there, I walked to a guy we do a lot of business with, his hotel, and there's this little bar in the hotel, like this back room bar, you know, pretty swanky, just, you know, not no food, but like this, I don't even know what to call it, but it was like this off the beaten path room, nice chairs. Yeah, something along those lines, right? And six or eight of us probably had, you know, three or four drinks and were able to catch up and talk a little shop, but just enjoy
people you really like from around the country in one place. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the Super Bowl is for me. Like for all of my peers this week, you know, it's like it's seeing people you really like and spend. I would agree with that. I mean, Tuesday night is the night of the big media party every year at the Super Bowl. And on Tuesday on Twitter, Mike Tenier, who's a dear friend, former Bleacher Report guy up in Philly, he actually taught Joe Flacco algebra in high school. He was Joe Flacco's algebra teacher for real. Mike Tenier, go follow him. He's a wonderful guy. He put up on Twitter, who wants to attend a virtual media party and I'll open a room. So, you know, there, I think we all miss people we like, right? Especially people we like who are elsewhere.
And yeah, well, and I think the part of it is because I have to eject from my life, right? And I'm 3/4 of the way across the country. You know, there's no other sort of like immediate distractions. The next day I need to just hit meetings and kind of my schedule set. It's just like you get to
escape.
Yeah. And enjoy those people in that time, being in that moment, you know, and that's, I don't know, you can't get that anymore. Right. Because you're at home, the news, you know, like when I'm out of town, like I realize I almost never turn a television on, right? Like I'm never in my room long enough to turn a television on. I don't really pay attention to the news because I'm busy. I'm doing stuff. It's an eject, you know, it's a reset button, even when it's a work trip. But that camaraderie and fellowship that comes from just everybody kind of sitting down and their feet hurt from walking all day and, you know, and just be able to commiserate or whatever for a couple hours. That's what I miss. That's what I miss that.
Well, at some point we'll get it all. See, I thought you were going to say, I want to go to an Orioles game this summer. That would make me feel whole this year. I mean, I have no idea what the hell's going on with them. I do know it's the last year of the lease. And I would think that like, if they open the doors, people might want to go just because like, it's a place to go, right? Like, I think there's a part. It was different with football where it was $200 to get in and wasn't any fun. Baseball, you usually go to baseball and you don't think I want to sit arm in arm and high five strangers at a baseball game. Usually a baseball game, I don't walk around, get a beer, stand out here, sit in the upper deck. I feel like they could be more successful opening up because people would go down there and give them $20 to walk in and walk around because it would be something to do.
Maybe, right. Maybe you get the just, I want to do anything. I don't care what it is. But they had pandemic attendance prior to there ever being a pandemic. I mean, you don't have to put any kind of restrictions on them. You know, 7,500 people are showing up. You just have to not let them sit next to each other. But there was never too many people there.
How about this, know? Bill? I promise not to be there or crowd you. How about that?
Yeah, right. I would do, I think I would do like the 12:30 weekday businessman special thing.
Ooh.
I think I would
if the weather was right and the Ness went with you and we could get some sausages on the street on the way up.
And maybe we, you know, we call six or eight other, you know, business people.
But we can't be 6 feet, you know, there's all that going on.
We can stay apart from each other, you know, we can wear masks.
Or you guys could just come down and we could skip the game and do something fun. Bill Cole is here. He's from Cole Roofing Accordion Energy. I hold up the mug. Sometimes I wear the hat. You know, I've decided to go hat free this week and just let my locks go because Marvin accused me again last week of dyeing my hair. I am not dyeing my hair. If I dyed it, there wouldn't be silver in the roots. So, hey, dude, I appreciate you. And give a little plug for your business and what's going on because there's snow and a lot of roofs and a mess happens in commercial spaces with this, right?
No, I mean, right now we're just trying to help people, you know, clean their roofs off or get stuff done. The snow and ice certainly don't help the, you know, aging roof conditions that thaw freeze cycle likes to bust stuff up. So we're always here prepared to help in any circumstance that There's no problem too small. Our service crews are great. They'll come out and diagnose the problem and help you fix it. And then, you know, we're looking forward to a healthy year of trying to replace some roofs, build some solar. You know, I mean, everything in the solar world seems to be catching fire and getting very feverish. We think it's going to be really good.
Well, this administration is going to be friendly to solar, right?
Well,
I mean, they should be, by the way.
I don't know necessarily whether it's a push or just not creating friction. Like, just not creating friction is probably enough for that industry to continue to really do well, because other things about pandemic in our lives now help people realize that solar can be really good for them, whether it's we work from home and we, you know, our electricity bill's gone up double. You know, I mean, there's lots of reasons why we are all trying to figure that out now. So it's economical. It's a big win for people when they can figure it out. And that's what we try and help them do. So
appreciate you, man. Appreciate you helping me out. Bill Cole is here. You can find him at Cole Roofing and, of course, Gordian Energy. And he's on the front of Baltimore Positive each and every week. So, dude, that's two full segments here. All Ravens and then vaccines. We covered them both here. And I will see you next week on the other side. Have a safe bean dip. Get some Rofo chicken with the kids and watch Tom Brady try to win another championship. Right?
All right, buddy. Appreciate you. See you.
Bill Cole, Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy joining us here on Baltimore Positive. We've been catching up with all sorts of people, including this guy, our head coach Brian Billick, on behalf of the Living Classrooms Foundation. All the Super Bowl 35 guys are up there. Matt Burke has joined us this week. Jack Del Rio's joined us. We've done a virtual radio row. And early next week, I'm going to run some best of, some Hall of Fame conversations with football players. The sort of stuff that we missed out a little bit on this week here. Although I did have Otis Anderson on, former Super Bowl MVP. You can go find that at BaltimorePositive.com.